Praise the Lord this morning. How about that? Praise the Lord for all that He is. Teresa, beautiful song. Thank you this morning. He is everything. I hope and pray that you come here this morning, that you're not putting your trust in your health. I pray this morning that you're not putting your trust in your wisdom. I pray this morning that you're not putting your trust in a vaccine. I pray this morning that you're not putting your trust in a mask. I hope and pray this morning that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. For when it is all said and done, that is the only thing that'll count one of these days. The only thing that'll take you to where you need to be when this is all said and done. I praise His name this morning for that. He is our all and all. He is everything that we need this morning. I just thank God for His mercy and for His grace that He has bestowed upon each and every one of us this morning. Thank the Lord for people like Brother Leisure and RR and all the ones that are RRs over in the Philippines, by the way, if you don't know. But praise God for people that'll go that have it in them to go to a lost and a dying world and to spread the gospel and word and to go out there the way the Bible says that we should do it. Sometimes we think that we're just in our own little world here, in our own little country here, and everything here is the way that it should be. There's a whole other world out there. There are souls out there all over this great planet of ours that need to know about Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that this morning. You know, I'm going to continue on this morning with what I started here a couple of weeks ago when I was here, and that's defending the Christian faith, defending the Christian truth. And I'm going to finish up with defending the Word this morning and defending the Word of God and how that we can defend this Bible. I'm here this morning. I believe that the Christian faith, number one, can be known, as I told you. I believe that you can know that you are born again. I believe that you don't have to doubt it. I believe that whenever the Holy Spirit comes into your life, that there'll be no doubt in my mind or in your mind that you are saved. And may I say this morning, if there's any doubt in your mind, you need to get to this altar this morning. Because you don't doubt when the Holy Spirit is flooding in your life. I believe that you can know it, and I believe that you can defend the Christian faith. You don't have to back down from it. You don't have to be. And I'm going to read the same verse I did a couple weeks ago. It's over in Jude 3. And that one little verse in Jude, the third verse. When you get there, let's please stand in honor of God's Word this morning. Stand with me. Jude, the third verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly, what? Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I believe we can contend for the faith this morning, and I believe that we should contend for it. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to gather here. I thank you, Father, this morning that Lord, that you have given us your word. I thank you, Father, that you had given us your spirit. I thank you, Father, that you had given us, Father, that this wisdom and this knowledge to go out, Lord, and we praise you for that this morning. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, if there's any here this morning, and most of all that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, Father, that Lord, that you, today is the day of salvation, and they would come to know you as their Savior. I pray for any here this morning, Lord, that may be hurting for any reason whatsoever, Lord, that you are the one that can take and you want to put your arms around us and give us that healing and that love, Lord. And we praise you for that as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to ask you something. I'm going to get into this a little bit later. How many of you got up this morning and went out to Facebook and started tearing down your own family? Anybody in here do that? I didn't think so. I didn't think so. I didn't think anybody went out and got on Facebook and started. I don't think Laura went out and started tearing Larry up or anybody else in their family on Facebook. I don't think anybody. My wife went out and started tearing up our kids and saying how bad of a family we are. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning, I've said this before, I believe that this Bible is true, Not only because I've been born again and the Spirit lives within me, because this Bible doesn't hold back none of the warts in it. It never did. It tells it, and if any historian will ever tell you this, the knowing about the truth of any piece of literature, anything that they say claim to be factual, they'll tell you this. Nobody goes out there and writes good about themselves continually in anything like that that you can believe. That's why they believe that the Bible is true. We're going to get into that. The one thing we will run to when we're trying to defend the Christian faith, one thing that you will run into, somebody may say to you, well, Christians can't even get along. Why are there so many denominations? If it's the way that it's supposed to be, why are there so many? Why is there a Church of Christ? Why is there an Apostolic Church? Why is there a Baptist Church? Why is there a Methodist Church? Why is there this? And you'll hear people say this. I've heard them say this. Well, if Christianity is so good, why do you have all these denominations? What should I want to belong to or get involved with something when people can't even get along? Can we stand and defend that type of argument? Amen. Yes, we can. We can stand and we can defend that this morning. You know, so many different denominations, so many different beliefs. We can stand and defend it. Of course, most of these people, when they're telling you this, will not mind arguing with you about whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican, right? They don't mind arguing with you about that. They don't mind arguing with you about other things in this life. They don't mind arguing with you about whether or not you're vaccinated or unvaccinated or whether you're this or whether you're that. They don't mind arguing with you about any of that stuff. But when it comes down to knowing about the truth and becoming a Christian and knowing that Christianity can be defended, brother, they want to argue with you about why there's so many different denominations. Or, you know, most folks have strong opinions. Most folks do, one way or another, and they have no problem expressing those opinions. But I digress. I want to get back to the Bible, and I want to talk about this. We want to defend it with just as much zeal as we defend other stuff out here in this life. I do. I've got opinions about what I believe about this, about vaccinations and unvaccinated. I've got opinions about what I believe about Republican and Democrat. I've got those opinions. But brother and sister, when it comes down to the end of this life, it ain't going to matter whether or not I'm a Republican or a Democrat. It's not going to matter what I belong to. It doesn't matter what you belong to. You better know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what I told you. If you would have put five different people, Brother Lazier, if I'd put five different people in five different rooms with five different Bibles, you think they'd all come out with the same opinion every time? No, they wouldn't. And as I told you, what is the variable in that? It's those people, men and women. That is the variable. What's the one constant? It's God and His holy word. That's the only constant that you and I have. The only constant that you and I have is God's Word. And I'm here to tell you, I believe God's Word over anything men want to come up with down through this age. The variables, the people, the constant denominator is always going to be our Lord and Savior. It's always going to be God. So who is in error? Peter said this over in 2 Peter 3:15-17. Listen to this. This is very good scripture. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto us. Peter's defending Paul. Do you get that? Now listen to this. Didn't Peter and Paul have some disagreements one time there? Yeah, they did. Okay. And also, let me get back. Let me tell you. So why can we not defend our Christian brothers and say, yeah, there's going to be things that we don't agree with them on. We don't. It's not got nothing to do with salvation, most of these cases. What it's got to do with is us, and this is what Peter said. He said, also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. Well, let me give me an amen on that. There are going to be some things that we, well, not all of us are going to understand. That which that they were unlearned and unstable rest, what's it saying? That means that they tried to twist the scriptures. There are people that are going to try to twist the scriptures. We've seen it. We know it. Brothers and sisters, we see it and know it all the time. They're going to try to twist it. And what's it? As they do also the other scriptures. Now, I want you to mark that right there in yellow, as they do the other scriptures. Why is that important? You see what Peter did? What scriptures did Peter know? He knew the Old Testament scriptures, right? What's he do? He's comparing what Paul wrote. He's telling you, he's telling me and you, they are scriptures. If you ever hear anybody say, well, what's the writings of Paul aren't, that they aren't the same as what the Gospels are, Peter's telling you that they are the scriptures. Remember that. That's important. Unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest also being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. There are people out there who are unlearned. Number one, they don't want to dig into God's Word. They want someone to tell them what God's Word is. Brother Leisure, I have learned down through the years, I don't believe what everybody stands up here and preaches sometimes. I don't believe what everybody stands up here and teaches sometimes. Not all the time. I dig into God's Word for myself. And you should also, lest you be taught by someone who doesn't want to dig into the Bible themselves, who doesn't want to, who wants to twist the scriptures to the way that they want it to lean. Listen, we can twist scripture any way we want to make our point, but is our point right? Not always. Peter is saying that it's unlearned people that won't take the time or put in the effort to learn what thus saith the Word of God. Greg said it best this morning. There's no reason why we should not be in God's Word every day somehow, some way. We should be in God's Word somehow, I'm going to say it again, some way every day. That way, whenever these things come up, and when I'm talking about into God's Word, I'm talking about digging into God's Word somehow, some way. Learning it for yourself. Tink doesn't depend on me to try to learn the scriptures. If you was to talk to Tink, there's some things me and her would disagree with in the Bible. You believe that? You believe that? Oh, yeah. Because Tink's got a mind of her own. And she studies the Word for herself. I love you, dear. And it goes on to say, in James, it said they are unstable. James says it like this. If you've got somebody that's twisting the Word, they're unstable. And James says this, a double-minded man is what? Is unstable in all his ways. I have known people that I've went to church with, Brother Jamie, that if I was talking to them, they would agree with me and they would go right over here and talk to somebody else and they would agree with them. They were unstable in what they believed. They were unstable in all. And if they're unstable in what they believe, they're unstable in all their ways. I'm not saying you can't have your mind changed. We all can have our mind changed. I have had my mind changed. But brothers, it's not because some man did it. God has showed me, Dave, that is not the way that it is. I don't argue a lot of points with people that doesn't consist of the basics of the Bible. I just don't get into that kind of stuff sometimes because it is not profitable. There are hills that are worth dying on and there are hills that are not worth dying on, especially in the Scripture. But I can tell you this, I'm not one for the wishy-washy types. If they're going to agree with me and then go over here and agree with someone else over here, I don't want, and I say this in all the love that I can muster, I don't care too much for that. I don't care much for that. Like someone, it says, like someone who's adrift at sea, that even whatever way the wind's blowing that day is the way that they go. Praise God, whenever He saved me, He has given me His Word. I've said this, I've got tons of commentaries down at the house. If you come into my office, my study down there, I have got commentaries on top of commentaries down there. I've got sermons on top of sermons. But brothers and sisters, I don't take all those to heart. I don't take them all and just grab me and say, man, that's just what I believe. Because I can tell you this, Oliver B. Green believes this. There's another commentary down there that believes this. I've got this one that believes this. Adrian Rogers believes this. I've got Charles Stanley believes this. I could go on and on and on. But praise God, this is what matters right here. Not what Charles Stanley or Adrian Rogers believe. And believe you me, I love those guys. I love that preacher. I love John Hagee's preaching. I love it all. But I don't take it unless I know for sure. Amen? And you shouldn't either. So can we defend the faith? Absolutely. Like somebody who could be persuaded to believe differently. No. No. Depending on who they're talking to or what their crowd they're with. That right there, just that wishy-washy stuff, just absolutely. It just drives me nuts. Young people, listen to me. You're not going to know what somebody older knows. You're not going to do it. You're not going. You got the same Spirit of God, but you know what? There are going to be times in your life where you're going to have to dig into this Word of God, and you're going to experience things in your life, and it's going to change your life as you go. Amen. That's right. Amen. And what I'm telling you is, you stick to the basics. You stand up for the truth of God's Word, and you tell whoever's talking. Yeah, they may believe this, but let me tell you, this is what's going to get you to heaven one day. That you believing in Jesus Christ, accepting Him into your heart, grabbing a hold, letting the Spirit guide you, getting into God's Word as much as you can, that'll get you to heaven one day. Praise His name this morning. Whether or not you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and it was the evidence of speaking in tongues, I'm not going to get you to heaven one day. Amen. Guys, you got to understand. I'm a Pentecostal guy. I'm along those lines. But I'm just here to tell you this morning. I know this for a matter of fact. Just because you speak in tongues does not mean that you are saved. Sometimes this stuff can be faked. Amen or oh my. Twisting of the Word of God. They take the Scriptures and they can twist it. Anyone who would use that argument could tell them that they have a good argument for not to. If they're telling you, well, I don't trust this denomination because we've got so many different denominations, and I don't trust that. You know what that's a good argument for, Alita? That's a good argument for not trusting man, right? That's a good argument right there. You can tell them, yes, sir, that's a good argument for not trusting man. But I don't trust man. I trust the Word of God. I trust the Bible. I trust what it says. And I will dig into this Word for myself. And I will find out what thus saith the Word of God. It's fallible men and women who get it wrong. They have down through time. They have. In Mark 7:16-13 said, He answered and said unto them, Well has Elias the prophet of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. That was the religious crowd. Those Pharisees, those Sadducees, that was the religious crowd of that time. And what did they do? They twisted the Word of God around. They twisted it to make it out to where it benefited them, and it didn't benefit the people. God's Word is clear. God's Word is powerful to anyone who wants to understand it. Am I right? It's powerful and it is clear. All Scripture, God's Word again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's that mean? It is God-breathed. As Candy said, His Scripture is alive. This Scripture is alive. This Bible is alive for anybody that wants to get into it. I'm telling you, this is the living Word of God. There are people that want to tell you, what's a 2,000-year-old ancient book? No, it's not. It is alive. It's just as relevant today. Do you want to know? I don't want to get too deep into this. I want to go down too many rabbit holes with this. But anyway, people, historians who go back, and they try to verify ancient text. They go back and they go like the Iliad, and they go back and all those other different things like that, and they go back and they try to verify those ancient texts. Guess which one has been rewritten the closest to our time frame? The Bible. The rest of them, I think the Iliad was like 800 years ago. It's something like that. And then they want to say that this text here, that this Bible was unreliable? No, it is not. They have found pieces of Scripture from, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls that verify what this Bible is about and how that it is written. They said if you would take all the rewritten manuscripts of the Bible that have taken place down through history, they said they would stack them and they'd be over a mile high. That's how we can depend on the Bible. That's how we can. God's word is clear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and may I add, may the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Man, a lot of bugs. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that powerful? We want to know how in the world we can live from day to day. You want to know how you can live from day to day? That Bible says it can do all for us. Correction, reproof, that the man or woman of God may live the way that they should live. You know, sometimes we preachers, we get up and we preach. We preach on things. We preach on everything. But listen to me. When it gets right down to it, right here's the way that you should live. Another talking point that they want to bring across. And can you defend this? I say amen. Well, it was written by men. It was written by men. And if I were going to tell people that they can bank on the lives of this ancient book, yes, it was written by men under the inspiration of God. Absolutely. Don't you believe we better get into the book first and understand it? Don't you think we better believe what we're trying to tell people about? I believe this morning, whenever the Bible tells me that if there's any sick among you, let them come before the elders of the church. Let them come before the elders of the church. I'm not going back here and drag you up here. The Bible says let them come to before the elders of the church. And they let them pray over them. And it said that if they've committed any sins as well, he said they shall be forgiven. And then the prayer of faith shall do what? Save the sick. Don't you believe? I believe that. I believe God's word. I don't believe that was for back then. I believe it's for today. It was asked listen to me. Remember when the lawyer tempted Christ and he asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Remember that? What did Jesus tell him? He told him these things. He said, do you love God with all your heart? He asked him, he said, love God. The lawyer told Jesus, he said, love God with all your heart. Yeah? If I was to ask you, do you love God with all your heart? I'd say, all of you would say that in here, raise your hands. He said, listen, do you love God with all your soul? The lawyer said that to Jesus. He said, do you love God with all your strength? Yeah, you know, that's what the lawyer said. And what was the fourth thing he said? He said, you love God with all your mind. Do you know what that means? You know what that's telling us? We've got to dig into His Word. That's what it's telling us. We have to dig into God's Word. Not just superficially, just reading over just Scripture. I read that verse today. I read that today. No, did you understand that verse? You understand you can read something without knowing something. You understand what I'm saying? You got to understand it. It said, with all your mind, Luke 10, 27 through 28. Let me go read the whole thing. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Jesus answered, said, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Brothers and sisters, it's more. It's more than just what we think it is sometimes. There's a lot involved in this. Our strength, our soul, our heart, but also our minds. We dig into it. And 1 Peter 3:15 tells us this, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Good testimony, Tim. Awesome. How many of us have done that? We've talked to an old friend or an old buddy out there or whoever, and we talked to them, and you could tell right off the bat that they're not living in the way. You could tell that, but we're just talking to them. We're trying to be nice. We're trying to be this and all that. I've done it. I'm not putting my finger at Tim, because I guarantee you there's all of us in here have done that a time or two. But brothers and sisters, we should be ready to give them an answer of the hope that lies within us. The hope. I got a hope. I got saved. I got a hope one day that this place down here, with all its diseases and all the stuff like that, this is not my home. I'm going home one of these days to a place where Jesus Christ is at, where God the Father's at, and praise His name, and I'll go see the loved ones that I miss one of these days. Give a hope. Give a reason of that hope that lives within you. And again, let me ask you, how do you know that Christianity and the Bible are true? Luke chapter 1 says this, for as much as many taken in hand to set forth an order. Now Luke, now this is Luke talking. I love this. I don't know. I've never looked at this way until I looked at this scripture in Luke, the first verses of Luke. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly among us. Are they assured in your heart this morning? Now listen. Even as they delivered unto them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, this is Luke the physician talking, to write unto thee in order of most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Do you know what Luke's saying right here? And I'll tell you, and he said this, and this is what he's meaning in a way, in saying it in the ancient way. Brothers and sisters, this isn't fiction. That's what he's saying. You say that. He said, brothers, what I'm about to tell you is not fiction. I'm not being careless with the facts. I have done my due diligence, and Luke did, to report to you best I could the accuracy of what I'm about ready to say. That's what Luke is saying right here in the first few verses of Luke. He's telling whoever will listen, I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm not trying to do anything other than to tell you what I'm telling you right now is truth and is facts. That's what Luke said. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed, this is Peter speaking now, cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter's saying, it's not fake either. That's what he's saying. He's saying, we didn't go after cunning fables. We didn't do that. We're telling you what actually happened. And then John, this is in 1 John 1:4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon with our hands, have handled the word of life. These guys walked with Jesus. There was a lot at stake in their lives. And they are telling, they're going across, making it a point to let anybody that will read this know that they did not make any of this up. They seen this with their own eyes. They felt this with their own hands. They did all these things to let us know today, yes, we can defend the Bible. Yes, we can. With all that is in us. He said, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon with our and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest that we seen in it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that what? That your joy may be full. We should shout the churches down every week, knowing what they seen and what they wrote down, and are letting us know that the joy of the Lord, that we can come here this morning knowing that the Bible is true, that the Word of God is true, that Jesus Christ was not a fiction. He's not a fairy tale. He sits at the right hand of God making intercession for anyone. Anyone. That will come and accept what He has given. Now, why does that matter? Because fictional stories start, and I wrote these couple of these down, with once upon a time, or in a galaxy far, far away. Right? We see how this stuff starts. When someone is inventing a story, now I want you to understand it. If they were inventing Jesus Christ up, if they were inventing Him, why would they put this in a time frame and in a land where it can be verified? Why didn't they say, well, in a land far away, there was the Son of God born? You get what I'm saying? Why would you put it down the way that they did? Why would you do that? If you thought that people wouldn't check into it one day, praise His name. Amen. You wouldn't do it. In a galaxy far, far away, there was born the Son of God. And His name was Jesus. And you can find it, and there's another galaxy beside of that you can go check out, which was called hell. Now, as you see, they didn't do that. But what we see in the Gospels, and particularly the writers, don't place the figure in some galaxy or land far away. They didn't do it. Now turn to the passage in the Bible and look at me for details. You want to find out? Luke in particular. I love Luke. But Luke will give you details of the time and the frame. Turn with me to Luke 3, 1 and 3. Luke, the third chapter. We're going to read the first three verses. Again, I'm asking you, if Luke was worried, if Luke was making this up, wouldn't you think he'd be worried about these time frames? Look what he does. Luke 3, 1 through 3. Now listen to this. This is awesome. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, that'd be easy enough to figure out, wouldn't it? You go back in history and figure that one out. Pontius Pilate, being the governor of Judah, you can go back and figure that one out too, wouldn't you? That's not a galaxy far, far away. And Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etheria, of the region of Trachonitis, and Listeria, the tetrarch of Abilene. That stuff, you could go back and you could figure that out. Now, if I was writing up about a fictional character, Patty, I wouldn't be putting details like that down. Ananias and Sapphias, being the high priest, the word of God came into John of Zacharias in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Do you get what I'm saying? Can I defend this Bible? Absolutely. Absolutely. This Bible is not trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. It gives you specific details. And can I tell you something? People have went out and checked this. Oh, it's true. You see what Luke is doing here? He isn't just saying once upon a time. He's not doing it. Thank God. This isn't Like I said, some galaxy far, far away. Here are people, places, and the years. Go check it out for yourself. Guys, if you don't believe me, this is Luke. You go check it out for yourself. And history confirms what Luke recorded. Another thing that we can do in the Bible is true. When someone lies, it's either to get out of trouble, or a lie can be told to do this, to make someone or some other event look good. You see what I'm saying? There's two reasons why people lie. That's the two reasons right there. And people will lie. Like I told you, I guarantee you, Belinda didn't get up this morning and go just tearing her family apart on Facebook. Because you know why? That's just not the way human beings normally are. We want to bring the best out. We want the best brought out about everything, right? That's how we do normally. Even when you're black sheep in the family. How many of you, have you ever noticed how much embarrassing material was written in the Gospels alone? Have you ever noticed that? Now, you suppose the disciples got together and said, well, you know what? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Let's just cover that up a little bit. We don't need to do that. We can just put it there. Let's just go ahead and take that out. No, they didn't. Because these people were wanting to write the truth. The Bible says this. It said Mark 14:70. And he denied it again. And a little after that, they stood by, said again to Peter, surely thou art them which art that Galilean, and thy speech agreeth with thee. He not only denied Jesus, he cursed and denied Jesus. Remember that? They put that in there. And Peter was one of the main figures. They put it in there. They didn't try to cover it up. Historians will tell you that's one reason why you can believe the Bible. Because they didn't try to cover stuff up. Matthew 16:23. This is Jesus turning to Peter. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Did you see what he told Peter? He called him Satan. Peter was this great figure in the Bible, right? He ended up being one of the main figures. But Jesus called him Satan. How about Matthew 26 through 46? Remember the disciples, whenever Jesus went out to the Garden of Gethsemane? They fell asleep 3 times. They record this in here. He fell asleep 3 times. You know how I would have written that? If it had been me, one of the disciples, I would have said, listen, you know, we was in a gallant battle and we fought those guys, but they overtook us. And then they come and they took Jesus away. That's not how this happened. We see. You see how we can make things up to make ourselves look good? You see what I'm saying? How about Mark 4? The writer tells us disciples don't understand the parable of the sower. They don't understand it. Now, if I was making up the Gospels, can you see them talking amongst themselves and saying all this stuff and saying, well, you know what, Luke, you need to make it out a different way, or Matthew, you need to do it this way. Make us look better. They didn't do that. So I tell you, I believe the Bible from the beginning, because it doesn't take away from any of the warts. Doesn't. In the culture, and one of the things I want to leave you with, or how about in Mark 16, where the women went to the tomb? Do you know at that time, in that day and age, in that culture, that a woman's testimony was below a man's? They didn't really take a woman's testimony. They didn't take it. Why, if these people were making up these stories, why wouldn't they have put in there, well, Peter and John went to the tomb and found it that way? You see what I'm saying? They didn't do that. They put it in there that these women did it. So the writers of that time would have known this. Am I right? They would have known that women's testimony wasn't worth anything. Am I right, Brother Leisure? They would have known it. So if they were making this up, why didn't they say that men went to the tomb first? That men found the tomb empty? That men did this and men did that? They didn't do it. Why? Because I'm here to tell you this morning, the Bible is truth. Amen. And they wrote the truth. And if the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that you can have salvation, that is truth this morning. And that He rose 3 days later, that is truth. Why? Because they're telling the truth. They're not making up the fictional stories about fictional man called Jesus. See, the Gospels are filled with all kinds of stories that paint the disciples in a bad manner. That paint them in a bad manner. If they were writing this up, they wouldn't have done that on their own. Also, look at what it cost these men. I know I'm getting a little long here, but look at what it cost these men. Peter, Andrew, and Philip were crucified. James the Greater and Paul were beheaded. Mark was dragged behind horses to his death. Luke was hanged. Matthew was killed by the sword. Matthias was stoned. Thomas was killed by the spear. James the Just was beaten to death. Bartholomew was filleted like a fish. And John died in exile. Now, I'm here to tell you, if I didn't believe in something, they ain't going to do that to me. Am I right? You better believe in what you're doing or you're not going to die that way. And I've told you this story before of Christians standing before their kids and standing and wanting and they're going to get ready to put their kids to death, and they're telling these mother and dad, denounce Jesus, denounce Christianity. And they wouldn't do it. You don't do something like that unless you believe in what you're standing up for. All kind of stuff. I can go into archaeological finds. They found this stone here back in 2019 that had Pontius Pilate's name on it. And also Tiberius Caesar. They found it. The Bible again proved true. The city of Ziklag that you remember mentioned back in the old Bible with David, they found it. I could go on and on and on. They have found what they said in the past that the Bible was not true about, because they said they couldn't find it at that time. I'm here to tell you, can I believe this Bible? Yes. Can I defend this Bible? Yes. And you can too. But you know what it's going to take us to do? We're going to have to dig into God's Word. We're going to have to know what we're talking about. I want to give you something. I wrote this down here, and all of you can go look at this if you want to. There's a book out there. It's called The Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's by Josh McDowell and his son Shane McDowell. If you get the chance, if you want to go read that book and look at that book, and also Shane McDowell's got a very good YouTube video out there. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, his dad was an atheist at one time. Set out to prove the Bible wrong, as they normally do. Ended up, found out that the Bible was true. This is back in the 1950s and 60s. Ended up, he wrote that book, and this is the second book of that they wrote. They got more evidence in the second book. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Bible is true. The living Word of God is the truth. And I'm going to ask you this morning, as they come and get a song. Now, my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. He did. He died for your sins and my sins. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I would not go out of this building that way. I would not. We're not guaranteed of tomorrow. If you go out of here today and you die without Jesus in your heart, living within your life, I'm here to tell you, your home is an eternity in a devil's hell. You're saying, well, that's scare tactic. No, that's what the Bible says. It hurts me to say that. It does. It's the truth, but it hurts me to say that because I don't want to see no one go to hell, Greg. None of us do. That's a terrible, awful place. And that's not just you go there and burn up. The Bible tells me that you will burn for eternity and eternity and eternity. That is punishment. Can I believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible's right. I believe there is a hell. If you would, let's stand this morning. If you have a need, please come.